This is the Feminem Podcast, the official podcast of Feminem, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. I'm Jenny Beck Esme, editor-in-chief of Feminem. Next up on our Fix 18 content, we have a fantastic talk from Dr. Jessica Bryce called Avoiding Feminist Burnout. Dr. Bryce is an emergency medicine resident at UC San Diego. She grew up in a rural farming community, and in her Fix 18 talk, she draws upon those rural roots to bring a unique perspective to the feminist movement. I think you're really going to enjoy it, so I'm going to just leave it at that.
I was not a feminist. That is a very difficult thing, to stand in front of a group of women whom I look up to and admire and admit. Now, it wasn't that I was anti-feminist, but I grew up in small town, rural Idaho, not far from where this picture was taken. A farming community that did tend to have more traditional female-male roles. Feminism wasn't really a word that we knew or even talked about. Despite this, I only ever felt supported by my community, my teachers, my family, and my friends in pursuing a childhood dream of becoming a doctor. And as I've made this journey, I've realized that feminism, if we allow it, can transcend the politics, the generations, the races, and the geographics that can often divide us. I am honored to be here today to talk about my journey in bridging this divide and how we can help other women do the same thing. Last year at Fix 2017, I left feeling inspired, educated, and challenged in my way of thinking. Despite this, I often felt like I was not feminist enough. You know, these women are my mentors, my colleagues, my friends, my program director, many of who are still sitting out in the audience today, my biggest support. And, you know, when I look at them, I think, man, they have this feminist thing figured out. And as I left for, And as I left for college, you know, I encountered other similar women with very strong backgrounds and had very different experiences than mine. And as I got to know them, I began to understand the issues that face women. I began to realize that why we even need the word feminism. But despite this progress, I often found myself trying to figure out where I belong, how not to isolate the people in the place that I call home, and yet still help others with my similar background find comfort in a world that I've grown to know as the feminist movement, that feminism can unite us. I once thought that my feminism journey started as I left for college, but I've realized that all of my life experiences have shaped the way I view the world and see myself as a woman in it. Even though I didn't call myself a feminist, I had very strong female role models, starting with my grandmother and great-grandmothers, to my mom, who raised me to demand and expect only the best, to sisters who became leaders in their career. None of these women would identify as feminists, but they embody everything the word means. And in this regard, my view of feminism was learned behavior. Going home was a comfort because the people there were the cornerstone of my childhood upbringing. And despite how my views may have changed or grew different from theirs, they always met me with unconditional love. As time progressed, I also began to find comfort in the women that I met in college who challenged and inspired me. And at times, I felt like I was standing in the middle, having to choose sides, rather than feeling like I could bridge them. Because of these, many times I found myself asking questions that some would call appalling, that I was met with disbelief. These questions did not come from a place of maliciousness or bad intentions. You just can't know what you don't know. And this always confused me. How am I supposed to grow? How am I supposed to change if I'm not allowed to ask these questions? Where do I learn this from if I'm not allowed to ask these tough questions that maybe some might find appalling? And that came in my four best friends in college who gave me that safe environment to ask these tough questions. I found that not only did they have the patience in answering these questions, but they also made every attempt to understand where these questions stemmed from. And in that respect, I think we all left the conversation more enlightened. And what I learned from these women is that if you spend less time trying to win the argument or trying to make the point, you end up understanding one another better as women, and you may even find that that bridge gets a little shorter. Looking back at my childhood, I realize in hindsight how different my views have become. But this was not a crossroad that I came to and decided to make a path. This change is a process. It takes time for these ideologies to change, for the views to change. People do not wake up one day and say, I'm not going to be biased against women anymore. I'm not going to be racist anymore. I'm going to be for gay marriage. But it can happen if we are patient, that change is a process, if we support and celebrate the victories when people make that change. I found that just as there are things that promote change, there are also roadblocks to change. And one of the things that stopped my growth in its tracks more than anything was anger, because anger is divisive. It is effective, and it is very necessary at times, but more often than not, it leads to us becoming argumentative, to closed off. It's a really good chance when we're angry, we're also not the one listening either. And just like these men with megaphones, when you're standing across the divide and you're trying to yell to make your point, your message often gets lost in the tone. Curbing anger to facilitate change can be as simple as the common scenario that we all love, are you my nurse? Now, I will tell you, this still bothers me. After a long shift, I have to hide the internal eye roll and just frustration. But I've learned that if I take this as a teaching opportunity, that I may just evoke that change in someone else. So my typical conversation goes something along the lines of, I'm actually Dr. Bryce, your doctor, in case you didn't get that from the badge. But did you know that over 50% of students graduating from medical school are women? Isn't that incredible? Now, 9 out of 10 times, you may be met with an eye roll. The message might not get through. But if 1 out of 10 times, that person hears what you say, and the next time a woman walks through the door, they say, is that my doctor or is that my nurse? Have you not started that process of change? As someone who has been on the learning side more often than not, I can tell you that your message can be heard. And if you approach it as a teaching moment, it is very appreciated. As I've experienced this change firsthand, I've really grown to realize that there are two different types of feminism. There is universal feminism, and there is individual feminism. While universal feminism, to me, is things such as fighting for equal pay, for equal opportunities in the workplace, fighting that we don't have to have sexual references made to us at work, that's something that I think generally all women can support. It is the individual feminism that causes us to feel as though we are outsiders to this movement. Many women may identify as any number of things, and each of these women bring a unique voice to this movement. And I challenge you to think that if we start excluding certain voices because we don't like what they have to say or they're different than ours, are we any different than the men and the institutions that have refused to give us a seat at the table? Remember, we are fighting for more than equal rights. We are fighting for women to have a voice, to be able to choose the type of woman that they want to be. And while that might not always look like how you or I see each other as women, it is all still valid and acceptable. I've crossed my own feminist divide, and I now see the world differently as a woman. I still have a long ways to go, but I'm pretty proud of the journey that I've made. I hope that by sharing this story on bridging my own divide, that we may all approach people who may be on a different point of the feminist spectrum with a demeanor that promotes change. May we all attempt to understand one another's perspectives. May we communicate with less anger. May we realize that change is a process. And remember that you may be guiding someone to be able to stand on this stage and proudly say, I am a feminist.